Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? What if I told you that in order for you to improve your English, you need to study less?
What we mean by that is you need to narrow your focus down to just a few essential topics. There's so much information on the internet these days about English learning that it can be quite daunting to know which topics to focus on.
So today, we will give you the three fundamental topics that we recommend you focus on. We call it the 80-20 of vocabulary. Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
audacious
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, driving your car down the highway, or even
catching up on your English practice.
Yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio, the cross-Atlantic studio, by the one and only Axel Poves, also known as Thiago. Or maybe that should be the other way around.
Hey, Ethan. Hey, everyone. What's up?
So in the intro, you actually mentioned that it can be quite daunting to know which topics to focus on. I think this is a problem that most learners suffer from, right? But what does it mean if something is quite daunting?
Yeah, challenging, right? So if something is daunting, it's challenging. Yeah, it's not easy to accomplish.
It's a great piece of advanced vocabulary.
Yeah.
And what does it mean if you narrow your focus down to just a few essential topics?
Yeah, we can think about it as limiting your focus, right? So instead of focusing on a bunch of things, you narrow it down or you just focus on a few things, right?
Yeah, that's a great like phrase over. The phrase over there is actually narrowed down, right? So It's like making it more narrow, less wide. And we're going to talk all about what the 80-20 is, the 80-20 principle. And you said that it's audacious. What does it mean if something is audacious?
Yeah, audacious means to be willing to take risks, you know, adventurous, yeah? So yeah, I could say that listening to podcasts is audacious of you, yeah? Because you are just testing your listening, right? You're not reading anything or looking at anything. It's just you and your ears. So it's an audacious move to practice your English like that.
That's a great point. And depending where you're listening, I guess, too, it could be kind of a risky situation.
Yeah, it could.
And you said you could listen to it while you're catching up on your English practice. What does it mean if you catch up on something?
Yeah, imagine you haven't been doing something for a while. You've been kind of ignoring it, and then you decide to catch up on it. You decide to start doing it again. So that's what I meant. I mean, maybe, you know, you haven't been practicing your English for a few days, so now it's time to catch up on your English practice, to start doing it again, right?
Exactly. It's a perfect one for today. We're recording this on a Friday, and many people, by the time they get to Friday, are quite tired. And so over the weekend, they want to catch up on their sleep, right?
Oh, yeah. I am one of those people. Yeah, I feel like that sometimes, you know.
Needing to sleep in. That would be another great phrase of a verb, right? What does it mean if you sleep in?
Does it mean to stay in bed until late?
Yeah, it's like to sleep until later than you normally would, right?
Right. So yeah, I got to do that, sleep in.
And today's topic is, it's like really brilliant. It can definitely be life-changing. And if you want to go even deeper, we have a free PDF download that's going to help you with links, resources that will help you to learn more and apply this to your life and to your English learning. So I highly recommend that you check that out over on the show notes, which are linked in the description of this podcast. So we've been mentioning several times, Thiago, the 80-20 principle. So what is the 80-20 principle?
Yeah, it's basically this idea of 80% of your results come from only 20% of your efforts, right? So it's the idea of focusing on a few things that will give you the maximum gain or result that you can achieve there. We actually have a very nice extract from the book that this principle is based on. Would you mind reading it?
Sure. This is from Richard, I think it's Richard Koch or Richard Cook. I actually listened to a really great interview with him recently on the Tim Ferriss podcast, which we can link in the show notes as well if you're wanting to hear about this guy, but he's truly brilliant. So in his book, he says how anyone can be more effective with less effort by learning how to identify and leverage the 80-20 principle, the well-known and publicized secrets that 80% of all of our results in business and in life stem from a mere 20% of our efforts. So he mentioned there that by learning how to identify and leverage the 80-20 principle, kind of like how this can change your life, can change it if you work in business. What does it mean if you leverage something like the 80-20 principle?
To leverage, I would say, means to take full advantage of something. So to leverage something is to take full advantage of that. So in this case, if you take full advantage of this principle, of the 80-20 principle, that's going to really maximize the results you get in your English studies and practice.
Right. Another really great word like that is harness. You know, if you harness something, it's like you're taking the power of something. Mm. Like a carriage used to harness the power of horses, but we can use it in a figurative sense as well, is that, you know, you're harnessing the 80-20 principle to change your life. And it's kind of the surprising thing that most people don't know about. We'll give some actual examples, but the 80% of all our results in business and in life stem from a mere 20% of our efforts. And this is a great little collocation he used here, stem from a mere, maybe first of all, what does it mean, like a mere 20%?
I would say just 20% or only 20%.
Yeah, to me it sounds like it's not an uncommon word, but it's very literary. Like you would write it a lot more than you would probably say. Like trying to think of like a practical example, you could say like, I don't know, you studied your English for a mere 5 minutes, but it's like sounds, that's why I was saying it's very literary. It sounds kind of weird if you were to use in your mm-hmm. your speech, like, oh, I only studied for like a mere 30 minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't much, right?
Exactly. I'd say like use this more in writing or in formal situations, or I probably don't even use it that much, but it's a good one to be able to recognize if you're reading. Mm-hmm. And to stem from something, what does that mean?
That's come from, isn't it?
Exactly. And the way you can think about this is a stem is like, if you think of a flower or a plant, the body of it is the stem. So it's kind of like what holds up the results, you know, the stem holds up the flower.
Nice.
So as we mentioned, we can give you some actual examples of this if you don't quite believe that it's actually possible that just 20% of your efforts can lead to having 80% of your results. And basically what this means is that you can be much more efficient in the things you do when you're able to identify this 20%. We have a handful here, like 80% of social media shares are by 20% of posts, which makes sense, right? It's like there's certain viral posts that get shared much, much, much more than the plethora of different posts that go out on social media that no one ever reads.
By the way, Ethan, you just used a very nice word there. Is it plethora? Plethora, right?
Plethora, yeah. It's like a huge amount of something.
Right. Nice.
And another example, 80% of sales are from 20% of customers. This is, again, true like in business. Mm-hmm. Most businesses have customers that are repeating. So if you think maybe of a Starbucks, for example, there's people who go to Starbucks every single day to get their coffee. Mm-hmm. And there's other people like myself that maybe if I'm somewhere where it's like convenient and I see a Starbucks, it's the only option, I'll go for a Starbucks. But mm-hmm. otherwise, I'll probably go to mm-hmm. a more traditional cafe. 20% of the population owns 80% of the wealth. I think most people know that, right?
Yeah.
20% of an artist's songs are listened to 80% of the time. So that's like most of us are pretty aware, right? That most artists have like a few songs that they're really well known for, or maybe even they just have like one. We call this a one-hit wonder. Sometimes there's a band that they only ever have one song that gets really famous. Everyone mm-hmm. knows that song, but they don't know the name of the artist because it was a one-hit wonder. But when it's like someone more famous, most of us know like a few songs by them, but they have a lot more songs than that just most people never listen to except for their biggest fans, right?
That's for sure, yeah.
And a final example, more relevant to us as language learners, English learners, 20% of the words in a language are used 80% of the time. Mm. So I thought that that's something we could actually talk even more about in English, because this is something when I first realized it in language learning, it's like I could achieve fluency a lot faster by making sure that I was learning the words that I actually needed for the most common conversations that I would be having.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tim. And we're going to be talking a lot about that today, specifically the words and vocabulary that you should focus on in order to apply this 80-20 in your life. Yeah,
exactly. So you should focus on high impact learning strategies, right? That's what the 80-20 is all about, is focusing on what's going to give you the highest leverage or the highest impact. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to vocabulary, it's like, as we said here, like 20% of the words are the ones that are used 80% of the time. If you watch a TV series or you listen to a group of speakers of the language speaking together, mm-hmm. almost all the words they're using are like very common ones or are ones that you hear all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of the ones that we're covering that are more advanced, they can be important to know, you know, if you really want to get to mastery of the language, mm-hmm. but you might only see them, you know, when you're reading Jane Austen or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Speaking as a learner, I would like to ask you, how can we identify or find this 20% of words that are needed for fluency? How can we find them?
I think it is easier said than done, for sure. Mm-hmm. But you can Google, of course, like, you know, most common words in English. And mm-hmm. if you're listening to us and you're understanding, you probably know like 90-95% of these, mm-hmm. If not all of them. But it still can be kind of like good to review that, just have an idea of like, okay, these are the words that I need to use most often, especially because it can be nice to use some advanced language. But if you want to sound more natural, sometimes the best option is just to use the words that are most common. But beyond that, this can be unique for every single person because, you know, if you are a doctor, then you certainly want to probably know some medical vocabulary so you can talk about your work or, but maybe your friend is a lawyer and he doesn't need to know any of that medical vocabulary, but he wants to know some legal jargon in English because, you know, that's important to him. And it's like this with anything. What are the hobbies that you have? You know, and I think this is actually a big problem with a lot of courses, a lot of language learning apps. It was kind of mm-hmm. like one of the first thing I noticed when I just started teaching. I was working in a school. The book that they used, it's like, okay, chapter one in the home, chapter two in the hospital, chapter three traveling and stuff. And like, it's just so situational that maybe a lot of these are not relevant to you, or learning vocabulary for the hospital that can be important. If you go traveling, you get in an accident, you're going to want to know how to communicate some things. But really, like in everyday conversations, how often are you going to need to talk about, you know, mm-hmm. your reflexes or needing to say that you have a cough, you have like a runny nose, a fever. So if you're not yet fluent, these kind of things, you don't need to worry so much about them.
Yeah. Like I think you said jargon, right? Like legal jargon, for example. What's that, jargon?
Jargon is a group of vocabulary or words that are used. Usually it's like a certain profession or a certain group of people that use these. So even legal jargon, like I don't know very much of it. Like a lot of times if I'm watching like a legal drama or something like that, there's certain things they say that they go over my head. I don't understand them. But just kind of like going back, if what you're really wanting is to be fluent, then it's like you don't need to study so much. This is like another thing with like apps like Duolingo, for example, that they'll teach you. I remember like the spider drinks water, or, you know, the bear eats bread. And it's like these kind of things, it's not something that you're ever going to need to go. You're not going to go to, you know, the UK and need to talk about spiders or water. You probably do, but
unless you are a botanist, right? I mean,
in that case, you might need to know that, but it's very specific cases, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm thinking of TV shows here now, Ethan, let's say sitcoms. Yeah. Because one thing I love about sitcoms is it's comedy series, right? Comedy shows, and they depict the characters in day-to-day life, right? At work, with friends, at the hospital, you know? Like Friends, for example. Yeah, we are big fans of Friends, right? We even have a course on Friends, right? Would you say that watching sitcoms such as Friends, for example, is a great way to get that 20% of useful vocabulary?
Definitely. I mean, that's one of the reasons they say that Friends is one of the best TV series out there to learn English. There's been academic studies that actually show this.
Yeah.
Not just us saying that. And it's because it's like a group of six friends sitting around the house or sitting around a cafe and talking about their life problems and, you know, dates they went on, romantic relationships, work, the kind of things that exactly if you are, whether you're going to an English speaking country or a country where you're going to communicate in English, or you're just making friends, you know, mm-hmm. around the world and stuff, these are the kind of conversations that you're going to need to have. So I think choosing a series like that, that talks about the language that you're wanting to gain, that can be a really great resource.
Nice. You know, I'm going to give the listeners now a little bit of behind the scenes here. Yeah. Because, you know, as we prep sometimes the episodes here, yeah, for the podcast for you guys, we have to think of some advanced vocabulary to also include here, yeah? So to teach you. But I have to be honest, sometimes for me, it's a little bit daunting, right? Or challenging to come up with advanced vocabulary, because I realize that most of the time, I use the same words to communicate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it really, I guess it's testament, yeah, of this 80-20 principle. We only use about 20% of words or vocabulary most of the time, right?
But you said it's testament of that. What does that mean?
It's proof.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a really good point, though. It's like here we're intentionally trying to sometimes use certain expressions or use advanced vocabulary so that, you know, to your benefit as learning English. But a lot of podcasts you might listen to, if it's like a talk show or if it's just, you know, an interview, you might understand. The speed might get you, the connected speech might get you, but the vocabulary, if you've done a good job of kind of gathering this, you're going to know a lot of it, depending what the topic's on, of course, but probably if they're just talking what we might say, like, you know, shooting the shit or just having like a normal conversation, you'll probably understand a lot of it. Yeah.
Did you say shooting the shit?
Shooting the shit is like having an informal conversation.
So when you are having informal conversations, you are shooting the shit. Is that it?
Exactly.
Oh, I love that. It's a great phrase.
If you said like, oh, I got together with Jack last night. It's like, oh, what did you guys talk about? Oh, we were just shooting the shit. Like, you know, we weren't talking about anything in particular, just nonsense, you know.
Shooting the shit. I love it. Nice.
Shit is a really great word. We have to do a podcast on that at some point. Shit and ass and all those good ones. The whole point here is, though, is kind of like thinking about what are the things that you do in your everyday life and thinking for you personally, what are the things that you are going to need to talk about in English and learning that vocabulary. So it's like if you really love sports, learn vocabulary about sports. If you really love working out at the gym, learn vocabulary about that. If you work as a doctor, learn vocabulary about that. Mm-hmm. So it's good to like think about this and like actually start to identify what is the 80% of my conversations, what are they about typically? Mm-hmm. And they're, if you start to pay attention to this in your native language, even you probably see like you're often talking about the same things.
I mean, what am I using English for, right?
Very personal, right? Always good to personalize.
Yeah.
All of our learning journeys are unique.
And again, that's one of the problems of traditional schools, because everything tends to be standardized and not customized.
Exactly.
Right? For each individual.
Yes. That's why traditional methods don't tend to work well for most people, because there's a certain type of person who can do really well on like standardized tests, but that's not most of us, right? I've always been like horrible at standardized tests. It's just not how I think, not how I learn well. So that said, English is really interesting language because we have, when it comes to vocabulary, we have many different ways of expressing ourselves, right? We have phrasal verbs, we use idioms all the time, we have word formation of where we take, you know, a root or we take a certain word and we can form sometimes dozens of words out of it, maybe in certain cases. So we're going to talk about all of this and that can also help you just to focus more your learning. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. So first of all, phrasal verbs. What would be the 80-20 of learning phrasal verbs, Thiago?
That's an interesting question. Again, I think as a learner, it goes back to being exposed to English frequently, right? So listening to podcasts, watching movies and series, right? Because then you're going to see native speakers using those phrasal verbs a lot. And then you can start building your vocabulary from there, you know, using those types of phrasal verbs. Phrasal verbs are definitely one of the pillars, let's say, of the 80-20 of vocabulary, yeah? Because they are so widely used, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't honestly need to use them in your speech. If you want to sound more natural, then you should spend time on that. But ultimately, first of all, it's really important that you understand them because we use them all the time. We've given you some examples already in this conversation. So I think a good thing is to be very selective, though. There's phrasal verbs that are hardly ever used, that you know, they're in very rare cases that you might hear in like a very specific situation, but then never hear again. But then there's other ones that we use in every other conversation. So, you know, pay attention when you're, if you're watching Friends, if you're listening to a podcast, and if you hear the same phrasal verb coming up like 2, 3, 4 times, you're like, mm-hmm. I should probably, you know, go look that one up. Or maybe you already understand what it means, but you don't use it yourself yet. So you're like, maybe I should add that more to my lexicon, to the words that I use.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What's lexicon?
It's exactly that. It's the words, your base of words that you use, right?
Yeah, it's a more advanced way of referring to words and vocabulary, right? Lexicon, right?
I think it's a technical word, yeah.
Mm, nice.
So do you want to give some examples of this, Tiago, of where you might want to use, for example, a phrasal verb instead of an alternative, which a lot of English learners might use the alternative instead?
Yeah, we have two examples here. Yeah, so listen to this phrase, guys. John was going to postpone the meeting, but in the end, canceled it instead. So we have postpone, the meeting, and in the end, canceled it. We could replace those words by using phrasal verbs instead. We could say, John was going to push back the meeting instead of postpone. So postpone, push back, they're kind of equivalents, but push back is a phrasal verb. And then in the end could be replaced by the phrasal verb ended up. So when you end up doing something, in the end, that's what you do. So he ended up calling it off. When you call something off, you cancel it, right? Mm. What I find interesting mm-hmm. about phrasal verbs is exactly that. It's because if you look at the words individually, push, back, end, up, call, off, they are easy words individually, right? They're easy. But the tricky thing about phrasal verbs is understanding the combinations, right? The meanings they form when these words together are combined. That's the tricky part. Yeah.
It is. And in some cases more than others. Like some of these, sometimes they are very visual. Mm-hmm. Like you can think of push back the meeting, postpone the meeting. If you were thinking of the meeting as a physical thing on your calendar that you could push, you're pushing it back, you know, to later. And to call something off, like that one's probably a bit more tricky, like call off. I don't know exactly where that comes from. More abstract, yeah. I don't know. One I always think of too is like run out of milk. It's like a really strange that you're using run with like something that you're almost out of, that you need to buy more of. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but maybe you can be creative here. You can think of like the milk is running out the door. You need to go buy more, you know?
yeah, it's true. But there are many instances, like you said, like when you were talking about pushback, yeah? That is very visual, yeah? Very literal, very visual. So painting the picture in your head could help you understand it, right?
Yeah. I think something really interesting too with phrasal verbs is sometimes the particle, the like preposition that's used in it, it's just used as kind of like an emphasizer. And like one I thought of now is we have the word meet, and then we have the phrasal verb meet up. Mm-hmm. And you could use just meet. You could say like, Tiago and I, you could use just the word meet. Mm-hmm. And I could say, for example, Tiago, do you want to meet and have a beer later?
Yeah.
But it sounds much more colloquial to say, do you want to meet up and have a beer later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By colloquial, you mean more natural, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like we use phrasal verbs so often, you know, in this kind of way that it sounds much more casual and... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly, like there's not a huge difference between saying, do you want to meet for a beer later and do you want to meet up for a beer later? But there's kind of like, if you start to pay attention to this, sometimes you'll find these phrasal verbs that they don't actually change the meaning, but there's kind of like a very subtle different feeling, you know, that you might get if you're using one, like maybe meet up sounds a little bit more casual, you know, mm-hmm. like meeting up to after work to have a beer together, then, you know, meet maybe carries a little bit more of a formal connotation of having a business meeting, you know, we're meeting to discuss business.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Tim.
So I think that's something that phrasal verbs, you can talk endlessly about them, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe we could quickly touch on idioms, mm-hmm. on what's the 80-20 of learning idioms.
Yeah, idioms are phrases and expressions that should not be understood literally, right? And that's another pillar, let's say, of the 80-20 of vocabulary. So if you really want to focus on improving your vocab, learn phrasal verbs and learn more idioms as well, yeah? Not for the sake of using idioms when you speak necessarily, but to understand it, right? To understand them when you hear someone using it in a movie or anywhere else.
Right. And they can be kind of fun things to use if you just add a few, you know, to your mm-hmm. to your base.
Yeah.
Then sometimes it gives you a nice alternative to, instead of saying it's raining a lot, mm-hmm. saying it's raining cats and dogs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to add that extra color to your speech, yeah.
Exactly. Are there any other particular idioms that you find useful?
One that I see a lot when I watch stuff is to bite the bullet, for example. You know, to bite the bullet is to force yourself to be brave in a difficult situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if someone's talking about like breaking up with their boyfriend or girlfriend or having to quit their job, it's like something like you're really avoiding that situation, but it's like you just have to bite the bullet and do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's true. And again, I mean, connecting that with doing things you like already in English, right? I love music, as you know, right, Ethan? So one of my favorite blues players is Eric Clapton. I love Eric Clapton, right? And he has a blues song that I remember that it's called, I think, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, which is another idiom, right? So to be down and out is to have no money, no job, you know? You're really poor, you know? So nobody knows you when you're down and out. In your pocket, not one penny, and then he keeps going, right? So, you see that a lot in songs that you listen to or books that you read, yeah?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, like, one of the really good things, too, is before I talked about, like, you know, rain a lot, it's raining cats and dogs. That means the same thing. It's raining a lot, it's raining cats and dogs. But with these that we mentioned, to bite the bullet, to be down and out, there's not really any other way to say that without, you know, saying a long phrase. You know, to bite the bullet's like the only other way is like you just have to do a difficult thing anyways. You know, there's no nice way to say that. So sometimes we have idioms that's really like the best way in that situation to say that thing, yeah. Right?
Instead of using a bunch of words, like you said, explaining everything, you just use that short idiom.
Mm-hmm. And that is like part of the 80-20 as well, right? Is it can help you to be a bit more concise, mm-hmm, or a little bit more direct in your speaking. So that said, before we move on to the last topic for today, which is word formation, which is another really nifty way to apply the 80-20 rule, we have a shout out to a very special podcast listener and app user.
All right. So today's shout out goes to Siddharth. And Siddharth says, "This is definitely the best app I have ever used to improve my English, because I'm preparing for my interviews and it is a compulsion for me to communicate in English. Before, I used to read articles on different apps, but they couldn't help me improve my tone. But now I think I have found the perfect app."
Thanks so much, Siddharth, for that awesome review. And dear listener, if you are not yet using the Real Life English app to listen to this podcast, what are you waiting for? It's really fantastic because you can follow along with an interactive transcript, and you can also, you know, actually study all of the vocabulary with flashcards, which makes it so much easier to remember them so you can actually start using them when you speak. So if you want this to shout you out, go ahead, download it, give it a try. And if you enjoy it, give us a 5-star review in your favorite app store so we can find you and also give you a shout out. And even if you're not on the app yet, but you still want to support us, you can give us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, anything helps. So that said, shall we move into, I believe this is Thiago's favorite topic, word formation.
Yeah, guilty. I like it, I really like it.
That's another good idiom, right? Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged, yeah. So somebody says something that applies to you and then you say guilty or guilty as charged. Yeah, I'm like that.
That's a great one. Getting into word formation, what exactly is that in case people are new to this?
So word formation is basically about forming new words from the words you already know by working with prefixes and suffixes. Prefixes are added at the beginning of the word. Suffixes are added at the end of the word. Why could we consider that 80-20? Because by using the words you already know, you can just expand your vocabulary by forming other possibilities there. We listed some examples here. For example, I'm sure that you listeners know the word short, right? Like, I am a short person, for example. I'm not tall, I'm short, right? But
both of us are.
Yeah, right. But we can form a new word from that word, short, which is shortage. Yeah. So what I'm doing here, I'm just adding the suffix -age or age, right, at the end of the word. And now shortage is the noun for short. So if I say that there has been a shortage of something, there hasn't been enough of something. So notice that I have two words now, but I didn't have to learn the second word from scratch because I used the first word that I already knew as base to form the next word.
Yeah, you can think of that as like, for example, that you're running short on something means that you're running out of it. Mm-hmm. There's a shortage of that thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. By the way, when you run short on something, is that an idiom?
That sounds like an idiom, right? To run short on something.
It sounds like an expression, right? Or a phrasal verb. No. I think it's more of a, I don't know. We have to check, right? But it sounds...
I think it's an idiom, yeah.
Like an idiom, yeah? You run short on something.
So you can see that we have the same word being used in an idiom, being used as a... that you can use to form another word and gather a bunch of different uses of it.
Yeah, that's it. We have more examples here, right, Ethan?
Yeah, so I'm sure you know like the word close, very English 101, right? To close the door. But if you are wanting to close a situation, for example, what we'd probably do is change it to the word closure. You want to get closure on a situation. I think in Friends, this is actually used as, you can probably hear this word a lot because like people would use it, you know, like in a relationship that you ended, but there's still like things in the air. There's still things that you need to say, you need to get closure, you know, so that you can feel like that chapter of your life is closed.
Right. A satisfying conclusion, yeah, to a situation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Uh-huh. And I'll let you do the last one because you know this one very well.
Oh, yeah, I sure do. Yeah. So, this one is fatherhood. Yeah. So I have the word father, which is very basic. But if you add the suffix hood, now I have fatherhood, which is the state of being a father, right? We can apply that to other words like, you know, neighborhood or adulthood, womanhood.
Motherhood, brotherhood.
So, yeah, that's it. So word formation is also, let's say, another pillar of the 80-20 of vocabulary. So if you focus on these three things, phrasal verbs, idioms, and word formation, you will already improve your vocabulary considerably.
A ton, yeah. And word formation, because it's quite tricky, and there's so much that comes to it. And I'm sure if this is the first time you're hearing about it, you would like to learn more because it allows you to take what you already know and just expand it into many more words. So we've done two videos on this fairly recently that we can link in the show notes if you want to dive deeper into that topic. And if you're wanting to also learn more about the 80-20 of vocabulary, a bit more about these different topics that we've discussed today, we have a video that just came out today, but I think it's already a little while ago when this podcast is actually published, that we'll link in the show notes. And of course, don't forget that we have that special PDF that you can download to find all sorts of resources and links that are going to help you to apply this more to your life and your English learning. And the link to download that, of course, is in the show notes, along with all the other resources, videos, topics that we've discussed today, which you can find by clicking on the description or going to reallifeglobal.com. So that said, thanks so much for joining us here on Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to being with you on your English learning journey again next week. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.